In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball. Let's
all go to the lobby. Time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here with us this afternoon. Hello, Al.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am just wonderful. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It was a very frantic weekend, but everything came together. The Improv Me Festival, fourth year, went off without a hitch. All the groups who said they were going to be there were there, and everybody had a great set, and it seemed like the audiences had a good time. So yeah, it was great. It came together wonderfully. I'm super psyched. I don't have to think about it for like 6 months.
Well, I'll bet. Well, you do an awesome job putting it all together. And by all accounts, it was a great time. And it was a couple new groups this year as well, right?
There's a new group based right here in Bangor called Queen City Improv. They did a set. And some folks from Central Maine, a group called Mainly Improv, they came and did a set. And then we had, the focus group did some stuff, and our friends from Teachers Lounge Mafia in Farmington came and did a set. And then Saturday night we had Stranger Than Fiction from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, who did something really interesting. They did something. It was almost dramatic improv. It was less like comedy driven that I found fascinating. It was a really brave sort of thing to do. And then, of course, the folks from Improv Boston come in and just, you know, blow the roof off it like they
Absolutely.
Always do. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Good time was had by all. And now we can look forward to year five next year.
Yeah, start planning now. But don't mention to Alan for a few weeks. Let him
rest. Just give me a little bit. A little bit of time.
I want to mention, before we talk about the movies you saw somehow this weekend in the midst of everything, we did have a winner right before Stephen came on. By the way, we apologize for a little bit of technical trouble there at the top of the hour for a few minutes with our Skype feed. That was one-sided, but we got that worked out. And the whole interview will be up online if you wanted to hear the beginning, because that was pretty good stuff, too. But anyway, we did have a winner. We're playing 6 Degrees of Tobolowsky, and our question was, what movie was this that featured Stephen along with Ty Burrell, Stephen Colbert, Allison Janney, Mel Brooks, and Stanley Tucci, an animated film based on an early 60s TV series? Ray Smith of Bangor knew we were talking about Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
That was actually, I remember seeing that, I think 2015, is that right?
14, yeah.
2014, yep. Yeah. I saw that. It was a pretty good flick. And again, you know, Mr. Tobolowsky makes everything he's in just that much better.
He sure does. Yeah, so Ray's a winner of a pair of tickets. We'll play 6 Degrees of Tobolowsky again tomorrow. Hey, what a good guy. Man, oh man.
Oh, it's like I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, maybe we could just give me a miss and you could just let... let him go for another 15, because it's just fascinating. He strikes me as the sort of person who has, you know, he's got 250-something IMDb credits. He seems like the sort of dude who has a story for each and every one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's just like, I mean, that hero story, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. The idea of poor Kristen Bell breaking down into tears because she thinks she's killed a man.
But still says the line.
But still does the line. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. So, well, speaking of good stuff, you saw two movies this week. Thor Ragnarok, which is somebody, I think our friend Charlotte Wilder tweeted, until she saw the movie, she thought Ragnarok was his last name. And Bad Mom's Christmas. Where do we begin?
The Kristen Bell story provides a natural, lead into A Bad Mom's Christmas. She is one of the stars of that movie alongside Mila Kunis and Catherine Hahn as the titular Bad Moms. It's the sequel to a movie that came out actually last year. Like, the turnaround time for the sequel was pretty fast. Largely, I think, because they wanted to sort of cash in a little bit on that first movie's kind of unexpected success. It was a female-driven comedy that came out in midsummer. And wound up doing almost $200 million at the box office. I don't think anybody anticipated it being quite so successful. They turned around the sequel pretty quickly. And unfortunately, it shows a little bit. part of what made the first one so appealing was there was a wonderful kind of sentiment behind all the curse words and sex jokes and and whatnot. And a lot of that soul kind of disappeared here in the sequel. The basic gist is the bad moms are, you know, are preparing for, well, for Christmas and talking about how difficult it is to be a mom at Christmas time. And that difficulty is quickly exacerbated when the bad moms have their moms show up. So you've got Mila Kunis's character. Her mom is played by Christine Baranski. You've got Kristen Bell's mom, who's played by Cheryl Hines. And then you've got Catherine Hahn's mom, who's played by Susan Sarandon.
Wow.
So you've got Baranski as the uptight, you know, sort of alpha, you know, perfectionist mom. You've got Cheryl Hines as the Midwest nice, super clingy, desperate mom. And then you've got Susan Sarandon as the roadie for Ario Speedwagon for 15 years, gambling addict mom.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and that's really all you need to know. And we get to, we basically watch as the our hero moms try to work their way through the holiday season while also dealing with the various issues that arise with their own mothers, be it... Mila Kunis and Christine Baranski battling over what's right for Christmas with her dad, played by Peter Gallagher, who's delightful, kind of stuck in the middle. You know, Cheryl Hines is cutting her hair the same way as Kristen Bell and trying to buy the house next door. And Susan Sarandon just wants to buy money, borrow money from her daughter because, you know, again, the aforementioned gambling addiction. But as you can imagine, these relationships work, have a way of working themselves out in this sort of thing, and in the process, we get to see a lot of women drinking to excess, a lot of cursing, and maybe the funniest male genitalia waxing scene you'll see this year,
or perhaps the only one. Yeah. Okay.
It's fine. Like I certainly got my share of laughs out of it. I don't think it was I don't think it lives up to the promise of the original one, but I think part of that is just you had the element of surprise going in with that first one. And with any sequel, the odds are you're going to have diminishing returns, and that's kind of the case here.
In setting up the third in the movie, Bad Grandma's Summer Vacation. Is that where we're going?
Badder moms, you know, grandmas in Vegas. I don't know. Like, who knows what's gonna happen? But it did a fair number at the box office this weekend, which is doubly impressive considering the next movie on this list, which basically everybody in America went to see this weekend, Thor Ragnarok.
All right, and the report on that?
Awesome.
Nice.
Like, it was awesome. It was. I would say I don't know that I've had as good a time at a Marvel movie, and I'm excluding Spider-Man Homecoming from this because I can't be objective when it comes to Spider-Man. So we just separate that out from the rest of it. Probably the best Marvel movie since Phase One, and I would go so far as to say top five of the bunch.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
It's really good. And it's good because it's funny, not quippy Joss Whedon funny, genuinely funny, character driven comedy and relationship driven comedy, all wrapped around these incredible action sequences. And it shouldn't come as any surprise because it was directed by, and I'm gonna butcher his name, Taika Waititi.
Okay.
Who did We Live in the Shadows? He's done some work with the Flight of the Conchords guys. He's a comedy director first, and a really weird choice for a Marvel movie.
Mm.
Only it turns out he might have been the perfect choice because one of the things that they do is they recognize the inherent ridiculousness of this character. And rather than trying to gloss over it, they lean into it in a way that almost plays as a spoof of a Marvel movie. The basic gist is Thor is trying to prevent Ragnarok. Those who are unfamiliar, Ragnarok is the fabled sort of cataclysmic end of Asgard kind of, you know, end of the world thing from Norse mythology. He's trying to prevent it, you know, and but it turns out that he's his long lost sister, the goddess of death, Hela, played by Cate Blanchett, who's awesome, you know, is trying to fulfill that prophecy. And in the process of fighting with her, he winds up getting thrown off into another dimension and crash landing on this far flung planet run by, well, his character's name is the Grandmaster, but you can just call him Space Jeff Goldblum because it's Jeff Goldblum. So Space Jeff Goldblum runs this planet. He runs a gladiatorial combat arena. Thor gets sort of thrust into the arena, like with the promise if he wins, he can get his freedom. And then it turns out that the champion is the Hulk, who's been missing for like 2 years.
Oh.
There's a whole thing where he fights the Hulk, and then they wind up as roommates. And the whole thing turns into this weird, like, buddy comedy, like, wrapped in a superhero movie that's just, I mean, just a delight to watch. You know, and Tom Hiddleston is back as Loki, which is great because he's literally the only villain they've gotten right. I mean, like 100% right in the MCU. So, I think they should bring him back every time, as far as I'm concerned. So it's got all the pieces, and you know, they have to kind of come together and escape from the planet through a dimensional portal that has a particularly graphic name that I don't think I could say on the air. So I'm gonna leave it at that.
Okay.
And then they get back to Asgard. They have to fight Cate Blanchett and her sidekick Carl Urban. And it's awesome. Like, it was just so much fun. I laughed more at this movie than I have at any offering in the Marvel canon. One of the great things about it is it still fits in the overarching mythology, but it's not bound by it in the way that a lot of these other movies are. Hemsworth is great. Chris Hemsworth as Thor, it's one of those things where, like, it's easy to forget when a guy looks like that maybe he's good at other things besides, you know, having big muscles and, you know, being an action guy. He's super funny in this. The dynamic between him and I don't know how you make a CGI Hulk like that, you know, engaging in a comedic fashion. The amount of work done technically, it must be astounding. You know, and Mark Ruffalo comes back, and I love me some Mark Ruffalo, so that's great. Cate Blanchett, man, you know, sometimes with these really acclaimed actors, they'll either, you know, when they get their, you know, when the time comes for their superhero movie, like, you know, obviously they're doing it for a check. Like, that's the deal. But sometimes they make it very clear that they're doing it for a check. And sometimes they're like, this is awesome. Like, I don't have to worry about pleasing anybody. I can just gnaw on the scenery in a ridiculous way, wear this stupid head, this stupid headdress, and fight Chris Hemsworth. And that's what she did. Like, she was so clearly delighted to be there that it was almost infectious. And so that dynamic really worked. You know, you have the stuff with Hemsworth and Hiddleston. They're great together. And then you have a newcomer like Tessa Thompson who shows up, she's like, if they don't bump her up to like top tier as far as MCU characters, like yesterday, they're making a huge mistake because she was phenomenal. Then you throw in again, Space Jeff Goldblum is, if not the best Jeff Goldblum, like in the conversation, because, it's literally like, They took some makeup, put a blue stripe on his chin, put him in a shiny robe, and said, "All right, Jeff, you know, be Jeff,
be just be you." Yeah. Wow, it sounds great.
It was really it's so much fun.
Now, is she the Valkyrie character?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah, it's they don't actually go so far as to, like, they don't name her that. But that's who she is. Like, it's there. She gets her backstory and all that stuff. Yeah. But she's like Scrapper 142 or something like that. Like, she's a sort of a space, like, you know, junk hunter, bounty hunter kind of person at the beginning. But she winds up as part of the team. Some great lines. Again, when you have a gifted comedic director like that, who apparently gave everybody a good deal of freedom in terms of the lines that are being said and stuff like that, which doesn't often happen when you're in these sort of CGI-driven, like, you know, universe-expanding kind of films. Like, it just... like, everybody was having such a good time. And when everybody on screen is having a good time, you can't help but also have a good time. And, yeah, I would say... this one's easily better than anything in the second phase, and yeah, and it's in my top five.
Woo. Well, there you go. Big props there from Alan Adams for Thor Ragnarok. Ragnarok, not Ragnarok. That's a different. That'd be the next one. Ragnarok. There you go. I don't know any of these, but now I kind of want to see it. I said earlier I probably wouldn't see either of these movies. Now I kind of want to see this after your love,
you know. And I'll tell you, it's the first one in a long time, aside from like the Guardians movies, which kind of exist kind of separate. I don't think you need all the other stuff. Like, it helps, and there are some bits that are funnier because you have that pre-existing knowledge base. But honestly, like, as far as standalone, like, maybe the best standalone movie since I would say like First Avenger, the first Captain America movie.
Great.
Like, I mean, it's great. You don't need the mythology. It helps, but you don't need it.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Alan Adams of The Main Edge here on Downtown.